Let us pray.
Father, as you descended upon your people in the book of Acts in mighty and powerful ways, we pray that that would happen today, that you would descend upon us so that we would have grace to faithfully preach your word and faithfully hear it through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So the Olympics have started. On Friday, you know that the opening ceremonies took place, and it brings back for me all kinds of memories of sitting in front of the TV with our family and watching swimming and diving and gymnastics and all the things that we're able to watch day after day. And when the Olympics are over, then it's traumatic. It's a sorry, sad day. But thinking about the Olympics, I was thinking about all the famous people who have competed in the Olympics, and one of them is Eric Liddell, and many of you know Eric's story, and how in the 1924 Olympics he ran and got a gold medal for the 800-meter run. And he wouldn't run on Sunday, and so he became very famous for his conscientious objection to running and for his commitment to the Sabbath, for not running on the Sabbath. And one day he was talking to his sister, who was trying to talk him back into going to the mission field. And his sister was very persuasive. He had been raised on the mission field in China, and the sister was trying to talk him into going back. And here's what he said. Famously, he said, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but God also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure." So what would it be like to feel the pleasure of God? In the gospel lesson today from the 12th chapter of Luke, we hear these words, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom." Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. These are the final days of Jesus on the earth. And he's just been talking about a man who died suddenly and realized that all the things he had devoted himself to were unimportant. And so Jesus, looking out at the crowd that day, I'm assuming sees in them, is he talking to me about that? Devoting myself to a life of unimportant things and seeing the fear and the anxiety in them, says these words, "Fear not, little flock." Tolstoy wrote a story entitled "How Much Land." And again, it's a very famous story. Many of you have read it, but it's the story of a peasant who removes himself from his own country to go to a different part of the same country. And he gets there and he decides to buy some land. And when he gets there, the peasants say, "No, we're not going to sell you land, but we'll give you as much land as you can walk around in one day." And so there's this whole big buildup, as Tolstoy is so amazing in doing. And what he does is he shows that this man wakes up one morning and he's decided he's going to get as much land as he can possibly get in his greediness. And so he gets up and he starts to walk around this huge plot of land. And the suspense builds and the suspense builds. We're not sure he's going to make it in time because he's got to come back and before the sun goes down. And finally, at the very end, really in the last paragraph, we see this man arriving back where he started. And in the last two sentences, like Tolstoy is so amazing in doing, he reveals that this man falls over and dies. Now, there's a constant temptation for us to live as if this is all there is, as if this life is all there is. And there's a constant reminder in Scripture that we're made for something else. We're made for eternity. And the best place that I know of to look for a description of this kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about in the gospel lesson today is Matthew 19. And in Matthew 19, he speaks of the kingdom as something yet to come, something down the road, something that we anticipate. And here's what he says. He says that the renewal of all things, so when everything is made new again down the road sometime in the future, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on the glorious throne, those who lost father and mother and brothers and sisters will be rewarded 100 times. And then he says, and they will inherit eternal life. So he's talking about a future reality of the kingdom of God, isn't he? And Matthew is talking about the time of the renewal of all things, when all history will be consummated in the return of the Lord and Jesus will establish his kingdom on the earth. And it's a time when everything will be remade and everything will be healed and a time when everything will be restored. And it's a time when God will reign supreme over everything. And everything in us at some level hopes for that day when everything will be restored and all the injustices will be made right. And so much so that the psalm writer says it will be a day when the trees will clap their hands and the mountains will sing. And we look forward to that day. But today in the gospel, Jesus says that the Father's great pleasure is to give us the kingdom. So we can't travel to the future, can we? But the future can travel back to us in God's providence. The kingdom is already here. Jesus comes announcing the kingdom of God is at hand, but then he says to us, it's not yet. So we experience it in a small way now, but we will experience it in its fullness when Jesus comes again. And Jesus at the Last Supper says to his disciples, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in the kingdom sometime down the road. But then he says in Romans chapter 16 that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that we are given in our baptisms and in our relationship with God when he comes into our lives. So the future kingdom is ours now, here, among us. The future kingdom is ours, and the Father delights in giving it to us. It's the same life that we will one day live that now comes to live inside of us today. So when we're entering the kingdom, or when we receive the kingdom, or when we're born again, or when the Spirit of God causes us to come alive to the reality of God, it's all the same thing. That's when it happens. And notice how the scriptures say that he comes to give us his kingdom, that the Father is pleased to give us his kingdom. It's not something we work for or something we strive after or something we have to do in order to get it, but he gives it to us. It's not self-improvement. It's not moral reform. In verse 32, it's a free gift that God gives his people. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God doesn't say, if you'll live well, I'll give you the kingdom. But he says, I will give you the kingdom so that you can live well. Reepicheep, the little mouse in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, goes to the end of the line, farther than anyone had ever sailed, and some things happen so that he's thrown overboard, and And his earnest desire above everything else is to experience Narnia and be where Aslan is. And so he's thrown overboard, and to his shock and surprise, the water's sweet. And what that tells him is he's close. The kingdom of God is near. He's very close to where Aslan is. New York Times article entitled Coveting Luke's Faith by Dana Tierney, written a number of years ago, speaks about this reality coming into our lives. And Dana was raised a Christian, and she knew all the Christian language and all the things you're supposed to do and say as Christians, and she did it all right, and she went to Sunday school, and she heard 1,000 sermons and all of that stuff. But what happened in her life was that things just became busy and became overwhelming, and she became filled with anxieties and concerns, and all those things began to take over. And what happened is that she began to fall away from God and fall away from the church. She marveled, though, at her friends who had a quality of life that she didn't have. And she says it in this way, when they walked along a stream, they didn't see water falling on a rock. The sight filled them with ecstasy. They saw more than water falling on a rock. They saw something that reflected something deeper. She went on to say, they see a realm of hope beyond this world. I assume that we, my husband and I, had stranded our 4-year-old son, Luke, in the same spiritually arid place we found ourselves in. Her husband left to go to serve in Iraq. And Luke, the 4-year-old boy, missed his daddy a lot. And she went on to tell the story about how one day she caught out of the corner of her eye Luke steepling his hands and then bowing his head. And she was surprised and she said, "Sweetheart, what are you doing?" And Luke simply said, "I'm praying for daddy." Dana, at that moment, was converted to a life in God's kingdom. She became aware of what she was missing. She became aware of the reality of God's future kingdom being available to us today, who would open our hearts and lives to that reality. And so she was converted that day by her 4-year-old son, Luke, whose prayers stretch to infinity and beyond, she said. His prayers reach from infinity to beyond. Luke knew all about this that his mother came to know that day. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.